What's up, everyone? I'm Nick.
And I'm Em.
And welcome into the Ominous Archives. Here we are. It's episode 3. 3 whole weeks.
Crazy.
Yeah. And what's even crazier is the fact that we have listeners. Like, thank you guys for listening to us.
Yes, thank you.
It's insanely appreciated. Very much. I mean, I'm blown away. We have listeners, obviously, like, home state.
Mm-hmm.
But Massachusetts, North Carolina, Texas, thank you guys. Like, mm-hmm. That's, I wouldn't even think that 3 weeks in we would have reached that far. I don't know what my expectations were, but whatever they were, you guys blew them out of the water. And the fact that we have a listener in Northern Ireland?
That is a crazy concept.
That is mind-blowing. So, thank you all. It is greatly appreciated. And we're also going to apologize for Dudleytown. I'm sure some of you may have heard it. There was, like, some kind of weird echo or something. It must be cursed.
There is no must be. It is cursed. The Dudleytown episode is cursed.
We recorded it twice, and the first time, the whole episode was just one gigantic echo.
It was done. There was no salvaging it.
We thought it was something we did, so we were like, let's re-record this. We're kind of figuring out how all this works and, like, mic positioning and stuff. Recorded it. We went and edited it. The first time through listening, nothing. Put it up. Echo. It's cursed. I don't know what to tell you guys. So
can't fix it.
Yeah, we appreciate you getting through that one.
Yeah.
And it's completely fine to be like, that was a bad one. Great episode topic, M. you killed the topic. It's just
doesn't curse like me.
Cursed town and cursed episode.
Yeah.
Also, we're gonna thank M. She brought us down a space heater.
I did.
So we're warm down here in the archives now.
And it's thank God it's great, for that.
Right? No more bundling up in winter jackets and wool socks.
Down in the archives.
Yeah. So I can't even, there's not even a real clean way to go from, like, wool socks or anything into, because, I mean, I guess it is. Because we're out on the water, it's cold.
Yeah.
And for this archive, we're going to be talking about a boat. Now, this boat is on the Philadelphia waterfront down at Penn's Landing. It's a wooden boat. It's gigantic. If you've been down the Penn's Landing, you've definitely seen it. It just looks like it's straight out of, like, a story.
Yeah.
You know, you picture an old.
It has history.
Boat. Yeah. So it's the Moosehaloo. If you've been there, you know it's a restaurant. It's got good food. I've been there. We'll talk about the food a little bit later. But this boat it's a sight to see in general. If you go down there, the whole Penn's Landing area is an awesome place to go and see.
It is.
It's a great place to hang out.
Yeah, it's a really nice part of Philly for sure.
Yeah, definitely. They do the river rink down there.
Mm-hmm.
I think they melt it in the summertime. Pretty sure they melt it in the summertime. Field. Yeah. So, anyway, we're going to jump right into this here and start by giving you some history. To just get the background and understanding,
yeah,
I could go forever with the history of it. It's not like it's tragic history or anything.
No.
It does get kind of shitty at some points, but it just is a very vast history.
Mm-hmm.
So this legendary ship is one of the world's oldest, largest, square-rigged sailing vessel that's still afloat.
Okay.
I think that just means it's a gigantic sailboat.
It's just a huge sailboat. Which is
but
wild.
The size of the ship's massive.
Yeah.
It comes in at 359 feet in length, 47 feet wide, and it weighs about 3,116 gross tons.
Like, how does that float? Like, I know, obviously, it's a boat. Boats float.
Buoyancy.
But, like, it really just does not make sense in my brain.
Well, just to get back to our little cruise thing. The cruise stuff has, like, those boats have, like, I think they have, like, air pockets.
Yeah.
In the bottom of them.
Mm-hmm.
And the bottom of them are so vast, like, wide, which makes them, like, super stable. I think I saw a thing that says
cruise ships could tilt almost 40, somewhere between 45 and like 65 degrees on their side before they flip.
That's crazy.
So you could almost go like way over. Maybe 65 is too far. Probably like 45.
Yeah.
But you could almost go flat before it would tip. And back to the Mooshaloo, which is not a cruise ship. It has 34 sails, which equals about 45,000 square feet in fabric used just to make the sails. The ship was built by a German ship company at the port of Glasgow in Scotland in 1904. Just boats. Really old. It was originally called the Kurt. I'm going to say Kurt. I know it's German. There might be an accent on it.
No.
I'm sorry for anybody out there who wouldn't know how to pronounce that. It was a state-of-the-art sailing ship for shipping cargo products, which were coal, coke, and nitrate.
Mm.
Not cocaine. Not the drugs. Apparently, coke is a bystander or a byproduct of coal.
Mm.
So,
you know, Mom, I just assumed.
I did the same thing. When I read coke, like, okay. I was like, Coca-Cola, cocaine.
What are we talking here?
Nah, it's a byproduct
of coal. Wasn't cocaine originally in Coca-Cola?
I have no idea. I've heard that rumor. I never did the...
Maybe I made that up. Whatever.
You might. Anyway. But the shipping route took her around Cape Horn, like around, I believe it's Australia, 54 times without any incident. While it had 35 men, like crew, on board.
Good for her.
Which was apparently a thing for that time. Like, that's a big number.
Big boat.
It did it.
Big sailboat.
Like, yeah. And it did it 54 times in 8 years.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's moving.
Yeah,
that ship was just like... In 1912, its routes changed. And in 1917, it ended up in Oregon to bring grain like back to Scotland when World War I broke out. Now, at this point, the U.S. Navy said, hey, that's now our boat.
Mm, of course.
So they took her booty and commission and renamed her Dreadnought, which meant fearless. And
they could have given her a better name.
Yeah, I know. I was kind of like, okay. I did get a lot of this info from the Mooshaloo's website. They have like a history thing on there.
Oh,
they go
cool.
to like with the dates and everything. They do go a little bit more in depth of what everything was happening. I'm just trying to give you an overview. Yeah, kind of like a hey. So the ship did get its last name of the Mooshaloo from Miss Woodrow Wilson, which was Woodrow Wilson's wife. So she's a first lady, which is kind of cool to be able to name it.
Yeah.
And now, like, I didn't know where it got its name. Now I do.
Now you know.
She named it that to honor a member of the Seneca tribe. The name the name Mooshaloo means one who fears nothing.
Right. Love that.
So then the Mooshaloo now won the last grain race in 1938.
Oh, girl.
So I'm sure you know everything about grain races.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
A genius when it comes to that.
So this is like, there's like shipping companies now who are like, oh, you know, we're the fastest next day, blah, blah, blah. Well, they use commercials and stuff to do that. Back then, they didn't have that.
Right.
So they did a actual race. So all the ships who were loading grain, they loaded them up with about 59,000 pound bags of grain, and it weighed about 4,875 tons. And she, the Mooshaloo, won this race. She hit record speeds of 16 knots, and she made it from where the grain race started to where it ended in just 91 days.
Look at her. Look at her go.
Yeah. This
Big
ship
fan.
Was awesome.
Big fan of this ship.
Mm-hmm. So in 1942, the Mooshaloo was then trapped in Norway by the Nazi forces, which is kind of interesting because they confiscated her, stripped her of her masts and spars. Not exactly sure what a spar is. I don't know.
Free my girl.
But it's interesting that they confiscated their own ship back.
Yeah. Right? That is weird.
Yeah. I didn't know, like, weird.
Hmm.
The whole, like, international waters voting stuff. That's the maritime law. Don't understand it.
Yeah.
Never really looked into it.
Beats
but I don't
me.
Know anything about it.
Absolutely beats me.
So now at this point, we're in the 40s and 50s. The Mooshaloo has, now it hits its, like, downtime, where we have a bunch of incidents.
No.
There's a bunch of, like, just mishaps, problems, and stuff like that happened. But the worst being, she broke her moorings and capsized near a beach close to the Skor of Narvik in 1947.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But she was refloated.
Slay.
And she was put into an early retirement at that point. You know, hey.
It's put her in the home.
Yeah. Yeah. Put her in the home. There we go. At this point now, she was purchased and restored to her original glory, destined to become a museum restaurant, right? Mm. Purchased by a U.S.
Mm.
A businessman in the U.S.
Yeah.
She began her new journey in South Seaport in New York, but was moved to Philly in 1974.
Dang.
There was then a 4-alarm fire in 1989, which then gave the Mushulu an uncertain fate. They weren't really sure.
Right.
I didn't know. Apparently a 4-alarm fire, second highest, 5-alarm I believe is the highest. And from what I've heard, doing like the research on this, 4-alarm means like there was like 4 companies there. It took 4 is like the your thing. That's mm-hmm. your going to be your 4 companies, 4, I want to say hoses, but obviously there's probably more 4 hoses. You know what I mean? Something like that.
I gotcha.
Not in the fire world.
Yeah.
Don't know that.
Very
would be
on that topic.
Very open to anyone sending us the info to let us know exactly what
somebody
4-alarm fire would be. So it has its uncertain fate, but luckily it did get last reno of $11 million and reopened its doors in 2003.
Let's go.
So it's now an award-winning AAA diamond-rated restaurant and bar. The food is amazing. I have eaten on the ship.
That's crazy.
It gives you vibes like you're kind of stepping back through time.
Yeah.
When you go, you know, when you go up the gangway into the boat, mm-hmm. like it's just a different feel. It's very cool. You feel like you're set back then. Again, the food was great.
Really?
When I had it, yeah.
Interesting.
There were a couple things on the menus where I was kind of like, I don't know what that is, but we're going to risk it and get it. And it was delicious.
Huh.
It ended up, I think, being like a kind of like a fancy cheese plate.
Yeah.
But there's some stuff that, you know, like restaurants do.
All
it's
right.
not in English. It was in like Italian or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, that's cool, actually.
So, shame on me for not reading. But the food was good anyway.
5 out of 5.
So now we have the history of it. We'll get to some of the spooky stuff.
Spooky.
I know all that history was a lot, but I did try to paraphrase best I could. If you're interested in digging, you know, you want to know a little bit more about the boat, visit the Mushulu's website. They do have that history page. There is definitely a lot more details of what was going on. And it also gives you a way if you want to try and reserve a seat or anything like that. It's a good website.
Yeah, now I feel like
it's got some history. It's great. But with this great history, there are some things that did happen. Nothing's dated very well.
Right.
Obviously, the ship's been around since 1904.
Forever.
Like, all some documents and stuff like that have been lost and everything.
You're on a ship, too.
Yeah.
Like, of course, that stuff's getting lost.
So, it said that through the history, there's been anywhere from 28 to 30 people who have died aboard the ship.
Pretty high number.
Yeah, there's not much about whether, like, 28 to 30 people died all at once, or if this was just kind of through time. I would think it's probably just through time.
Like still is
mm-hmm. still a lot
too
of,
much
a lot of people
for my liking.
Yeah, think about it, 1904 to 2024.
Yeah, right.
It's still floating down there at Penn's Landing.
Yeah, that is crazy.
So the haunting of the ship didn't just start recently. It started way back when there were still crews who were aboard the ship, and it's still active with hauntings to today. The crews used to report strange things happening, from like intense women's laughter to voices in the rigging out on the deck. And there are even reports of, like, back then they would use candles to light things and stuff. They would extinguish the candles. When they were done with them, they would come back and the candles would be relit. So we're going to kind of hit off 3 of them. We'll start with what is called the Lantern Ghost, as it's become the known.
Anyway, man.
Yeah, you know. Getting tongue-tied. It's been a long day. There are around 50 or more tables in the dining area, and each one has a lantern on it. They don't light the lanterns during the day, obviously. The problem with that is that they'll go to seat people, and the lanterns are lit. Now, none of the staff lights them. They're not, you know, they're They're told not to light them because it's daytime.
Right.
They don't light them, so they'll extinguish it. The people will sit down, have their meals. But then, as the final guests trickle out, and the staff will start their closing process, blow out all the lanterns, finish their final checks, and get ready to like turn the ship over to the overnight crew who were on there, they'll go back into the dining room one last time, make that final check, and there are lanterns that are relit again.
Like, I would quit.
it's kind of harmless.
That's
but
freaky. Like, that is so freaky.
It's not that freaky.
It is. Don't lie. Like, that's scary. You go out yourself, blow out every single one of those candles. You go back, you're closing out your checks or whatever, and you go back out and they're all lit. No. Mm-hmm.
It does make it a little, like, freaky because it did have that 4-alarm fire.
Yeah.
But
that, ooh, I didn't even think about that. That is kind of freaky.
Yeah. They don't have anything. The ghost and that, like, the ghost did not set the 4-alarm fire. From
but
what I found.
Crazy.
It is crazy. Yep. It is weird. Some of the staff, they try to, like, catch other, like, the overnight shift or other people on their shift, like, playing a prank on them and being like, shh, we're going to relight the candles.
Because
and
that's
out.
Exactly what I would think.
So, they'll try and, like, hide out or, like, just be on the other side of the door while they're doing their final stuff and, like, to peek over. And they'll turn around and look, and the lanterns will be relit. And they know for a fact that there was nobody else in there because they were just, you know, they were...
Right.
When you walk in, there's kind of like a main mass kind of in the floor. You know, it's got to support that somehow. And then you go to the right and there's like an entrance to the dining that way. But you could also go around and go to the backside. So there's like two doors.
Mm-hmm.
You can be, they were like on the other side of that doorway. And they know there's nobody back there. These lanterns somehow relight.
Like, I'm quitting. Sorry. Like, no place is worth that much of a check.
So that wouldn't necessarily like, that would put me on edge and kind of be like, weird.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not crazy about that because I don't want the boat to burn down or anything. But I don't think that would be my end all be all where I'd be like, I'm out. I gotta go.
You're too naive.
Well, now we can talk about the second ghost.
Of course.
So the second ghost, they say, could be an old sailor or a captain. As this voice comes down from the mast, or they say superstructures. So I'm just assuming it's like
big
pieces. Yeah, the big, big pieces of the boat. With this ghost, it won't matter whether it's day or night.
Mm.
When you're on the...
That freaks me out.
Like, yeah, they could be
like,
whenever you
so
want.
So brazen. Yep. They're like, I'm coming out in the daytime. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's when you're on the like top deck. They have a like, last time I was there, it was just kind of like a bar area.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you could like kind of walk the full length of the ship or if that was part of the museum. But when you're up on the top deck outside, you'll hear light words, like somebody's talking to you, but the words are always unintangible.
Wow. I've never in my life been able to pronounce that word.
I don't think I'll ever be able to.
Oh, I didn't even know that's how
so
I pronounce it.
We'll go easier. You can't understand the words.
Let me paraphrase it real quick.
There we go. But you'll know it's a voice.
Yeah.
You'll hear it's a voice. Now, some people, they say the ship talks when the tides are changing because it's going to, like, rub up against the moorings and, like, where it's, like, docked at, it'll rub against that and, like, some stuff in the water will rub against it and it'll make, like, groaning noises and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the people who hear this voice are like, no, you can hear the difference because the boat is, like, a moaning or, like, a groaning, whereas, like, this is like somebody trying to talk to me. I can hear it.
Yeah.
You can tell. I just don't know what they're saying. So that's the ghost in the moorings and not the moorings. That's the ghost in the masts. Now, there is a third ghost that I found when I was reading the Ghosts of Philadelphia book.
Mm-hmm.
This third ghost is the woman who is laughing.
I hate that.
So in 1998, there was a medium who was brought to the ship. The owners and captain did not, they didn't plan it. They didn't know she was coming. Somebody just brought her.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't even, like, she just stepped onto the gangway, which is like that ramp to go into the boat, and she felt a presence right away. So right off the bat, she was like, it's definitely not a deckhand. It's not an old captain, but she has the feel of a woman. So the medium said that the woman seemed be like dressed as if she was like a stowaway, or if she was like trying to impersonate a sailor. So maybe she was like impersonating a sailor for work.
Yeah.
She also said that like there were strange circumstances around her demise, but it didn't seem like she killed herself or she was murdered.
Right.
There's just something weird about how she died. But she also said that she didn't feel that this woman was mean or aggressive, but more of like a person who's like deeply interested in the sea. So she's just aboard the ship wanting to, you know, see the sea and everything. She's said to be laughing from the woman's like bathroom. There was a staff member who was like closing down one night and walked by and heard this like woman like hysterically laughing in the bathroom.
No.
And was like, there's a customer in here. I gotta like, you know. So he opened the door, but he's like, I don't want to go in there because I don't want to interrupt anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But so he kind of was like, hey, like, you know, we're closed. I have to ask you to leave. And all of a sudden, like, the lights like went out and it went quiet.
Nope.
And they never seen anybody leave the bathroom. They ended up having somebody go in to inspect, and there was nobody in the bathroom. So somebody was like, the manager or whatever was kind of just like, oh, you're hearing things or whatever. And he was like, I know what I heard. And somebody went through and checked it out. There wasn't nobody there.
No.
So they are the three ghosts that are still active down there at the Mooshaloo. So if you ever are in Philadelphia on the Penn's Landing area, there's so much to do down there. They have the, there's a museum down there that's not the Mooshaloo. I think it's a maritime museum. They have, there's like a ice cream thing. They're in the like shipping containers. They kind of repurpose shipping containers into like restaurants. Last time I was there, there was like an ice cream shop. There's a Chickie and Pete's, a couple other restaurants. There was like a taco place. And then you have like the Mooshaloo. There's also, I believe it's called the Spirit of Philadelphia, which is another boat that you can go on and have dinner, but it like takes you up and down the Delaware. So that's kind of cool too.
Yeah, that is cool.
So that area is very cool.
Jam packed.
Yeah, there's a ton
of
stuff in that like city block stretch. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff, but the Mooshaloo is definitely just seeing it. I actually believe too, next to the Mooshaloo or like in front of it, there might be a submarine.
I was literally just.
I think there is a submarine down there too.
Or there's something.
No, there's.
Else.
I think there's a submarine down there, and you can take tours of that sub too. I don't know what submarine it is, but. Just to close up with the Mooshaloo, we do have some cool information that the website did give me. As far as like the Mooshaloo being a movie star, the Mooshaloo was seen in the movie Rocky.
No way.
Yeah, it was shown during one of his like workout montages. So, you know, you
that
watch that and then you're like, I gotta go work out.
Yeah.
When you watch that, when he's doing a session along the Philadelphia waterfront, the Mooshaloo's in the background.
That's funny.
It was also in The Godfather Part 2 when they bring young Vito Corleone to America in the early 1900s. That's the boat. As well as at the end of the scene of the movie Blowout. Apparently it's in that. And it was just recently in an episode of The Housewives of New York.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So,
love the Housewives.
Not only has this ship seen,
she's a movie star,
crazy history, and is now a great restaurant to go eat at, it's also a movie star.
So crazy.
Yeah, it's definitely crazy. And if you're ever in the area, it's definitely something you have to go see, get reservations at, or, you know, just go walk around there and check it out. There's a bunch of stuff down there to do. That's going to, gonna wrap up the Mooshaloo.
Very good pick. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I think you did a great job.
Good. Oh, thanks. Hopefully
of course.
Everybody else thinks so. As always, thank you guys for listening and check us out on Instagram at
Ominous Archives.
X
Ominous Archives.
And if you have a story you want to share, you want to just get in touch with us, you can email us at
ominousarchives@gmail.com.
All right, everyone, that wraps it up for us down here in the archives. We are going to turn our space heater off and catch you guys next week. See ya.
See ya.